Apparently you can start now. He's working.
We're going to do the seventh paragraph of the school. Since Rishus is the way the Rambam refers to Bechira Chofshit, right, free will. Rishus Kol Adam Misuna Lo K'moshe B'Yarnu. This is what he explains starting in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. Yishtadel Adam Lasos Tshuva Lisvados B'Fiv Mechata'ov V'Lin Or Kapov Mechata'ov. But here the Rambam says something else. Like if you think in terms of what generates tshuva, like why should I do tshuva? So in Perek Aleph, the Rambam started off with a kind of a reasonable, straightforward assessment of tshuvas, of tshuva. He says, "Kol mitzvah shebetera im ovar adam achas mehem." I'm skipping the qualifying sections. Kishayasa tshuva v'yoshem mechato chayv lisvados. So it would seem from the first halacha in Hilchos Tshuva that the thing that drives tshuva forward is a chet. You do something wrong, so you have to do tshuva. In Perek Zayin, the Rambam is thinking tshuva in the opposite way. Thinking of tshuva in the opposite way. Now it's true that he talks about a chet. But if you read the halacha carefully, you see that the Rambam is talking about something else. Ho'il, or Rishus Kol Adam Misuna Lo. Ho'il, right? Since you have Bechira Chofshis, I'm going to read it also, leaving out a part so we can get it. Then he says, Yishtadel Adam Lasos Tshuva, Kedei Sheyomus Lebal Tshuva Yizkei L'Chayei Olam Haba. So the thing that generates whatever the Rambam is talking about in this halacha is Chayei Olam Haba. It's Chayei Olam Haba. Now, what is Chayei Olam Haba? So the Rambam explains that. First, he says in Perek Chamishi, Rishus Lekol Adam Nisuna. Every person has free will. And the free will is that if he wants lahatos atel derech tova lios tzaddik, or rishus biyado. That's the free will. He can be a tzaddik. V'im ratzol lahatos atel derech rov lios rosh or rishus biyado. And that's what it says in the Torah. Heim odom ayok achad mimenu ladas tova ra. The Rambam goes on and says something that's difficult, but Hey min zeshel Adam haya yochid ba'olam, Hey min sheni doma. There's no other creation like man. B'zeh ha'inyan. Sheyehu b'atzmo b'dato v'machshavto yodea hatov v'ara v'oseh kol mashu chafetz. So somehow you know what is good and what is bad, and you could still do whatever you wish. You can be good, you can be bad. Vein mishiake biyoda milaso satova ra. Okay, vishakein hu pen yishlach yodova grima. So it says that this is the freedom. This is the freedom that man has. That even though, I mean, this is generally in thinking about free will, I mean, you have to think something. I mean, everybody knows that we're not entirely free. Even though we like to think that we make decisions, or we make choices, right? We have, we have some sort of autonomy. This is a very popular subject today, right? Very modern. Besides being a subject that philosophers talk about and sociologists in a different way, but it's a very popular subject, like autonomy. Autonomy is like people would like to think of themselves as being autonomous, sort of making, like you do your thing. You ever hear anybody say that? Like doing your thing is a kind of autonomy. It's like a statement about breaking away, right? Not being exactly the way other people expect you to be. However, if you study medicine, if you study psychology, psychiatry, you come to the conclusion that that there are really very powerful limitations on freedom of choice and autonomous action. And, you know, it's really a matter of defining and redefining what autonomy is. I mean, for example, most people don't have the free choice to be great pianists. You know, only people who have talent in that area might be able to choose to be great pianists. Most people, you know, most people can't choose their personality very easily, even though, you know, there are a lot of advertisements in the weekend newspapers that may tell you that for a small amount of money you could change your personality into something else, but it's not so likely. So that free will is not an easy topic. The Rambam has distilled all of free will into this one issue: being a tzaddik or being a rasha. Now, it's true that being a tzaddik has implications, and being a rasha has implications. It's true. However, it's also true that for the Rambam, autonomy, like where the human being really has free choice, is in the one place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that free choice. It's not genetic, apparently. It's not medical. It's not psychological. It's not psychiatric. I mean, how that works, I don't know. But that's what the Rambam says. And then the Rambam in Halacha Beis says the opposite. He says, "Al yavol b'machshav t'chol dov hazeh sh'omrim tipshei umos ha'olam v'rov golmei b'nei Yisrael." I mean, this group of people called tipshei umos ha'olam and golmei b'nei Yisrael, I don't know what's worse, whether it's worse to be one of the tipshim of the, like the non-Jewish tipshim, or to be a Jewish golem. Golmei, like golem is like, you know, you're just a piece of inert material, right? I think I'd rather be a tipesh than be a golem. But he said that the Rambam says, tipshim, that's the goyim. Golmim, that's us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer l'adam mitchilas b'riyaso l'yos tzadik v'rasha. Ein hadavar kein. In other words, people say, now we know that in modernity there are religions that argue a kind of deterministic position, that people turn out the way they have to turn out, and all we could do is try to like do a few good deeds along the way, and then maybe in heaven that straighten it out and give you a good spot. But apparently in the time of the Rambam, this is also possible. The Rambam says, "Ein hadavar kein. Kol adam ra'uy lo lios tzadik k'moshe Rabbeinu o rasha." So, of course, this is like the subject of great discussion. What does the Rambam mean that you could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, how could you be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he had certain advantages. He understood the Torah very well. So he knew what the Torah wanted. So in as far as being a tzaddik is connected to doing what the Torah wants you to do, then Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain advantage. I mean, how could you become a just through free will become a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Oh, Rosh Hashanah, I don't want to go into that. Oh, Chochom, oh, Sochol, oh, Rachman, oh, Achzori, oh, Chili, Yoshua, v'chein Shara Deos, Eilom, Mishi, Yichpeh, v'lo Gozer, lo, v'lo, Mishi, Moshcho, Lechot, Mishnei, Adrochim, Elohum, Atzmo, Midato, Noter, Leizer, Derech, Shiyutza. So the Rambam includes in this free will act, is a person could become, like you have the free will to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he has, the Rambam says, that you have the free will to be a Rachman or an Achzari. Right? You know that the Gemara in Yevama says that Am Yisrael are Rachmanim. And you know that the Rambam paskins l'halocha that Am Yisrael are Rachmanim. How can you paskin l'halocha that the Jewish people are merciful? What does it have to do with halacha? It's like the Gemara says that the Jews are rachmanim by shanim v'gomlei chasodim. That's what the Gemara says. So rachmanim means merciful, right? And by shanim means, not haughty, easily embarrassed, kind of get red in the face quickly. And gomlei chasodim. That's what the Gemara says. Gomlei chasodim. The Rambam paskins and in Hilchos Suri Bia Perek. Are you going to look it up? If you're not going to look it up, I'll make up a parrot. Yud Beis. But so the Rambam says, If you're not going to look it up, why shouldn't I? So it sounds good, right? Huh? Okay. So the Rambam Paska Locha that the Jews are Rachmanim. How could I Shirim Gomli Chasodim? How could you Paskim Halacha? I mean, you could say it, but what kind of Halacha is it? So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says like this. Some of you might be interested. I mean, all of you should be interested in this. That somebody makes you a Shidduch with a girl. You go out with this girl, and you like her, and she likes you, and you think, you know, it's like there's a future in this relationship. So you go to her house. You visit her family, right? You walk into the house, and her brothers are throwing beer bottles at each other, you know, breaking things, screaming at each other, cursing. So the Rambam says, and, you know, you can see they're really nasty fellows. They're beating each other up. They hit you, on, you know, along the way. So you say, it might make you nervous, but you'd say, okay, so I'll get married. We'll move to a different town. I don't have to live here. So the Rambam says, no. He says, when you see people act that way, it's not perfectly clear that they're Jewish. I mean, they may be faking it, because Jews don't act that way. So the Rambam paskens lahalacha, as I love that if you get a shidduch and the family is such a family, that you should try to avoid it. You know, get out of the shidduch. But the Rambam says, that this business of being a rachman is part of free choice, or being stingy. V'cheng k'shar kol ha'deos, and no one can force him to do it, except he himself. He can do it himself. So that for the Rambam, it's interesting that Tov and Ra includes Tzadik in Russia, like Tov and Ra, let's say Tov. What does Tov mean? Tov means you can be a Tzadik, that you can be a merciful person, that you can be a kind person. All of that is in the category of Tov. All that is in the category of Tov. And in fact, the Rambam says, when it comes to Tzidkus, you could be a Tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's a problem, we said. How could you possibly be a Tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Torah, and he knew the Torah very well. And how could it be possible that I would compare myself to Moshe Rabbeinu? So, in Perek Zion, that's Perek Hay, right? That's Perek Hay. In Perek Vav, I mean, I assume that you went through Perek Vav today. So let's go to Perek Zion. In Perek Zion, the Rambam says, Holy Rishus called of Sudolo. Right, so what did the Rambam say in Perek Hay? What does free will mean? Free will means that you can become a tzaddik. That's what free will means. Now the Rambam says, and in fact you could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam says. Along comes the Rambam now in Perek Zion, and he says, free will, since you have free will, then do tshuva before you die. Kadesha Yomus Vubal Tshuva, the Yitzkeh Lechaye Ha'olam Habo. In other words, tshuva has this some tremendous ability to render you not neutral, but righteous. In other words, tshuva does not simply wipe out all the averus, but tshuva renders a person a righteous person. Because what turns out, according to the Rambam, is that if you're 80 years old, right, or 120 years old, and you think that you're about to die, and you do tshuva, so that means you've lived 120 years without a single aver. Like, you don't have any averes. All you have left, the only thing you have left in the cheshbon is, what do you have left in the cheshbon? Right, all the good things that you did, that's all that's left. So that being like Moshe Rabbeinu, is for the Rambam actually a quantitative issue. What's Moshe Rabbeinu? He always did the right thing. How do I know Moshe Rabbeinu always did the right thing? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Miriam and Aaron, you can't judge Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Even the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, is not something that's ever explicitly stated in the Torah. The Torah never said what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. And in fact, the ways of explaining the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu are varied. And it's not necessarily true that he did a ma'asa that was also. He may have just given an impression that he shouldn't have given. And then, halacha beis, the Rambam says, lo mi'ir de adam atzo kilu no tel amus, v'shem yamus b'shatu, and he said, oh, v'chato, v'fri yishuv v'chato miyad. V'lo yomak she'ez kin ashuv, shem yamus terma terem she'yaz kin. So that the Rambam says, when I say to you that a person has the free choice to be a tzaddik just like Moshe Rabbeinu, that doesn't really mean that you have the free choice to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what it really means, because after all, I mean, to become like Moshe Rabbeinu, it takes a tremendous effort. You can't become like Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu as a personality was a unique event in history. There's never going to be another Moshe Rabbeinu, we say, the Torah says. Lo kam b'Yisrael k'moshe od. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu is a unique event. So when the Rambam says that every person could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, what he means is not that you're going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, but when the cheshbon is made, when you are evaluated somehow in heaven, you will come out like Moshe Rabbeinu, 100%, 100% good, and 0% bad. How do you become 100% good and 100% bad? Not 100% bad. Well, you do tshuva. Because tshuva wipes out somehow, the Rambam explained in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, tshuva wipes out the averis. So all you have left are schuyot. So a person who has schuyot but doesn't have an averis is a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Unlike what the Rambam said in Perek Gimel. What did the Rambam say in Perek Gimel? That if you have more schuyot than avonot, then you're considered to be, what are you then? If you have what?
You're a
tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. It says Perek Gimel. That if you have more schuyot than avonot, you're a tzaddik, but you're not a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is no cheshbon. There's no cheshbon. There was nothing wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu. From the point of view of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Moshe Rabbeinu could have been better than he was. Right? There was something that Moshe Rabbeinu did for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him to task. But from our point of view, the tzidkus of Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. There were no blemishes in Moshe Rabbeinu. There are no blemishes in Moshe Rabbeinu. So we say nochamu. A tzaddik, according to Perek Gimel Hilchos Teshuva, is sabra has more schuyot than avonot. Because there the Rambam is saying, look, who has the right to live in this world in Olam Haba? Only a righteous person. A person who's a rasha, he should get punished immediately. He has never a right to live. But here the Rambam is talking about something else. He's talking about a tzaddik of the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's a tzaddik of the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu? Somebody who chooses tov and rejects ra. Right? How is it possible for us? I mean, how can we choose tov and reject ra? I mean, because everybody has done something in his life that he didn't want to do in retrospect. Everybody's done something for which he feels... He was not circumspect. He was not thoughtful enough. He didn't think about what he was doing. So the Rambam says, that's what tshuva is. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is the launch pad for the tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because tshuva gives you that position. It may give you that position only for a moment. Everybody knows the Gemara in Kiddushin. Hariat Nekudeshesli, the Gemara says, Al-Manas, Shani Tzadi Gomu. Al-Manas Shani Tzadi Gomu, right? I've never heard anybody say that under the Chuppah. But in the time of the Gemara, there was, I guess somebody could have said it under the Chuppah, but I have never heard it. I've been under a lot of Chuppahs. No one ever offered this deal. What does the Gemara say? Hariat Nekudeshesli, Al-Manas Shani Tzadi Gomu. What does the Gemara say? Mekudeshes or not? Mekudeshes. Shema Hear, hear, tshuva, deliba. In other words, at that instant, it could really be true. If that's the tonight that the chassan wants to make, he could have been maharir b'tshuva at that moment, and she's mekudeshes. She got what he said she was going to get, a tzaddik gomor. And so the Rambam says, in halacha beis, la'olam yira odam atzmo kiluhu no telamut. So that this choice, which the Rambam presents us with at the beginning of Perek Hay, this choice between Chaim and Moves, between Tov and Ra, right? This choice that he says the Torah gives us is a choice that exists for the Rambam only because of tshuva. And so that the answer to the question that everybody has to ask, which is, how come the Rambam put all of these principles of free will, sechar va'onesh, olam haba, into Hilchos Tshuva? Like, why is that? Why has that become a topic of Hilchos Tshuva? The answer is that the way the Rambam understands it, the way the Rambam understands it is that Tshuva is the vehicle that allows you to be a free choice person. Because even though in the Bria, in creation, we were granted this option, or the option of choice, for most people, that option of choice is lost almost immediately. And in order to regain it, the Torah put in tshuva. And the Rambam, therefore, is very midriyak when he says, tzaddik in Perek Gimel, and tzaddik kimoshe Rabbeinu in Perek Hey, right? It's very meduyak, because that's what tshuva is. So tshuva, according to the Rambam, has expanded tremendously from being the tshuva of that works on the averas, this kind of a personal psychological method that I have. Like, I do tshuva, I do vidui, I try to get the vidui exactly right, etc. This is like a method that I have to maintain my sanity, right, and to rid myself of the burden of my own averas, of the sins. And tshuva is now, according to the Rambam, tshuva has become, or tshuva has developed into the way I can place myself in Olam Haba, in the category of Tzaddik Gamur. And then the Rambam says in Perek Dalet, most wonderful thought. Al yidame odam bal tshuva shim ruchot mimalos atzadikim mitnei ha'avonos v'chatol she'oso. He's getting back to the theme, right? This is our theme. You should not think that when I say that you're going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is a melitza, that this is sort of just a metaphor or poetic license. No. He says, you're going to come and say to me, how can I compare to myself to tzaddikim? After all, I did this aveira, that aveira. Okay, tshuva, very nice. But the Rambam says, ain't it okay? Ela ohu v'nechmad hu lifnei ha'borei. No, nechmad is? Nechmad is a word for beloved. It's a synonym for beloved. So that ohu v'nechmad, right? Beloved and beloved. It's as though he never sinned in his lifetime. He has that free will again. The lo od ela shescharo harbei sheitam tama chaytu flash v'mena v'kolash yitzray. So here the Rambam says something that could appear in Chassidus. You know, like a Chassidish Rebbe could have said this. But of course, we know that the Rambam was not a Chassidish Rebbe. The Rambam was probably modern Orthodox, or at least, almost certainly, right? You know, Rambam got his suits in a fancy store, and all that. He was probably modern Orthodox, but this is like a little lapse in the Rambam. Like, sometimes he says things that, yeah.
What about someone did something at the height of Mitzvah Beis Din, or whatnot, that tshuva, and then we could put it on the Chabad Rambam?
I don't know if we're talking about real aveiros here. I think we're finished with aveiros. And then we're talking about burdens, like a person has a burden. A tshuva works to give you the feeling that you have free will. It doesn't mean that you have, a aveiros. I mean, there's no aveiros here. I mean, if you look here, they're not talking about specific aveiros. Says yishtadel adam lasos tshuva lesvados b'fiv michata'ov v'dedov kapov michata'ov. It's like sort of general. It's a general statement. A person is always in that state. You always have chatoim that you can do tshuva for. But you may not know what they are. It's not like specific chatoim. But here, listen to what the Rambam says. He says, the Rambam says, Ohu v'nechmad hu lifnei abore kilu lo chata me'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Baal tshuva. Ela, v'lo od, ela shescharo harbei. Sharei tam tam achei tofarash yimene v'klavash yitzra. Omu chachome mekom shabali tshuva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim yicholon la'amodo klomar ma'alosam gedola mimalas eilu shelochoto me'ola v'bnei she'en kovshim yitzram yoser midai. So I'll tell you the Chassidish Shetera. The Chassidish Shetera goes like this. He says, what's a chait? How could you have a chait? How can it be a chait in the world? Well, a chait is a ma'aseh. It's something that we do, that we're able to do. But since we are created from our Baal Kodesh Baruch Hu, so mistama, we're also programmed. Like in that creation, there's a certain programming, like we see in animals. You know, they have instincts. There's certain things animals can do and certain things that they can't do. But we're also programmed. And yet the Torah comes along and says that even though you could do this, don't do it because it's a chait. So in Hasidus they would say, well, that's only that's what the Torah wants to give you an opportunity. A chait is an opportunity. It's not because it's bad in itself. Right? Not because it's bad in itself. It's only bad because God doesn't want you to do it. You understand? So the Gemara says, Gdola HaTshuva, Sha'avonos, Nasos, Kizchuyos. Right, that's what the Gemara says, right? The Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Zayin, that transgressions ultimately turn into merit. So usually when you learn this Gemara, the reaction is, that's a little too far, right? I mean, you could say, okay, I did tshuva, the Aveira doesn't count, doesn't connect to me, I'm not going to get punished. You could say, how can you say that an Aveira becomes a merit? How can you say Aveira becomes a merit? So I'll give you more Chassidus. Chassidus? What makes an Aveira an Aveira? What makes an Aveira an Aveira? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you can't do it. So that means, really, what is your aveira? What is the aveira that you did when you did an aveira? What? You didn't listen to God. That's the aveira. So if you do tshuva, what is tshuva? Well, tshuva, you say, now I will listen to the will of God. So that when I come and I make my evaluation, what made the ma'aseh an aveira? Because I didn't want to listen to what God said. However, the ma'aseh itself, the act itself, since it was done in the world that God created, I could imagine that it was somehow within the context of God's will. It's like the Gemara says, we know that, you know, if somebody falls off a ladder and kills another guy, b'shogeg, and then he has to run away to the Ir Miklat. So the Gemara says, well, the guy who was killed, b'shogeg, the guy who was killed, probably killed somebody else, and he deserved to be killed. And the guy who killed somebody, Bishogeg, well, you know, he also deserved to be sent away to the Ir HaMiklat. So that the results of the ma'aseh that you do, the results of the ma'asim that we do, right? One could imagine that they're all somehow within this notion of God's will. That nothing could happen in the world that God would absolutely find unacceptable. And so that when you do an aveira, it's not the ma'aseh aveira. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately except it gives mechila on Yom Kippurim. This is to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Bein Adam Lamakom and Adam Lachavera, because Bein Adam Lamakom, what do we say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was the whole problem between you and God was that you didn't accept God's authority. The problem wasn't that you did this or that, because as far as doing this or that, it must have been somehow fit in with God's will. So that once you do tshuva, everything is all right. There's nothing, no residual bad if you did tshuva. So that, but Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's not enough to do tshuva. Because the ma'aseh creates its own, has its own implications, and as a result, you cannot get atonement until you somehow deal with the other person involved. So that's why it says. So in other words, sharei tam tamachei tufar shemene v'kolash yitzro. This is a person who made the choice to be a tzaddik, right? He made the choice to be a tzaddik at a later date, at a later part of his life, than the tzaddikim gemurim, who are always that way, right? They're always accepting God's will. So according to the Rambam, that's what a Baal Tshuva is. Ma'alosam gedolo v'malas elo shalochotu mi'olam v'bnei shem kovshim yitzram yoser mehem. Somehow they work on themselves. They do something. They do. It's a kind of almost an act of creation. Yetzer, Yutzad Yeresh, is the verb that is used in Bereshis to describe the creation of man. Man is created Yutzad Yeresh, and he's created with a Yetzer, and that the Kibush HaYetzer, right, overwhelming your inclination to do bad, is kind of the last step of creation. The last step of creation is overcome the Yetzer. But the Tzaddikim don't go through that step of creation, right? They don't go through that particular stage. And therefore, they're not as beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Baalei Tshuva. Okay? Then the Rambam says, just to mention another point, Rav Tahalocha, hey, Kol HaNaviim Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva. I see in my Rambam, this line is highlighted in yellow, which must mean that it's had the yellow highlighter. So call HaNaviim, call Tzivu Al HaTshuva. What is that? What's the problem? So ordinarily, most people think that tshuva is a mitzvah in the Torah, right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to do tshuva. Why is it call HaNaviim, Tzivu Al HaTshuva? So you know that the Minchas Chinuch pointed out in other Achrayim that the Rambam, at least in his presentation in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, seems to say that the mitzvah, the ikar ha-mitzvah, is the vidui, and not the tshuva. And if that's true, this would be a raya, because the Rambam says, "Kol anaviim tzivu ala tshuva." Right? Why? What? Vein Yisrael nigolim ela b'tshuva. This is all the Perek Tshuva in the parasha of Bitzovim. The Rambam goes through the whole parasha of tshuva. Then the Rambam halacha vav. We'll just look at one more halacha. Gedola tshuva shebekarev es adam l'shchina shenema tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecho. Here the Rambam is saying an interesting thing. If you remember, I'll just try to gedola tshuva shebekarev. So this is one of the lines in that Gemara. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, at the end of Perek Dalet, the Rambam makes this well-known programmatic statement about how things really are in the world. The Rambam says, "In yoni arba prokim elu shuvei chomesh mitzvos or elu, and shechachomim arishonim karim osam parades." He says the first four chapters of Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, which are about Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, they are somehow under the general rubric of Pardes. Pardes, we could say philosophy, right? Even though for the Rambam understood philosophy in the Greek sense, which meant physics and metaphysics, right? Physics, how the world works, and metaphysics, how above the world works. So the Rambam says, all these things are in the category of philosophy. Now listen. He says, "Kemosha Amra Abba Nichtasu the Pardes." We know the story of the four Tanoim. that went into the paradise. Apple Pish Gdol Yisrael Hoyu, the Chachovin Gdolim Hoyu, Lokulam Hoyobem, Kdele Dala Sig, Kolad Vermal Buryam. Even though they were great Tanoi, they didn't all fare well within the world of philosophy. Vani Omer, the Rambam says, Ein Roy Litayel Bepardes. Elo Lemishin Smalek Kreso Lechel Bosor, it's a famous statement of the Rambam. And the lechem and basar is leida ha'osu v'amuter k'yotze misharim mitzvos. V'avol pishet v'ameil dava katan, k'osu chachonim, she'omu chachom, dava golem asim merkova, dava katan ha'vayas ha'vayi v'rova. Avol pishet v'uyim hei lakdimam, she'em yashrim dato shel odam t'chila. So the Rambam says, like let's paraphrase the Rambam in a kind of a personalizing. The Rambam is standing here in the room and the Rambam says, look, you know, I'm a great philosopher. I know all of Greek philosophy, it makes sense to me, I have a certain take on things, I know about intelligence and separate intelligence and about angels and about, you know, all these kinds of things, I got it all figured out, right, it all makes sense to me. Not only that, I can show you, I'll write a little book called the Mora Nevuchim, not just a little book, but I'll write a book called the Mora Nevuchim, which will show you that somehow the Torah and philosophy, Greek philosophy at least, get along very well. But there's a very happy combination. Nevertheless, if you ask me, should you run helter-skelter into philosophy and start from there? Because after all, that's the noble study of man. That's where man is going to study about God and about God's relationship to the world, and that's what we're really interested in. So I say no. First go to yeshiva. Learn a lot of Gemara. Learn a lot of halacha. Take a lot of bechinas. He says, that's good for you. That stabilizes you. Are you going to rush into a world where people, somebody will come along and say, prove God exists, or prove that God created the world? You know, that's going to be a little upsetting. So the thing to do is, you spend a couple of years, you know, doing all these little details about Shabbos, and then more details about davening, and then you go out of the Yom Tevah, you go to Shodah the Shul, you Kibbutz the Shul. Like, once you get into it, you sort of get caught up, you can't get out. And then when somebody asks you, prove that God exists, so you don't take it so seriously. You know, you can handle it, right? You've got all this tremendous investment in the details. You're not going to let yourself get caught with these big questions. See, the Rambam, he's a psychologist, he's an educator, and he has this idea. And then he says this most wonderful thing. He says, first of all, you should learn the Gemara and the Halacha first, because they're miyashvim dato shel odam t'chila. Because they give you yeshiva das. Now, I don't know what the Rambam thought yeshiva das meant, but in modern Hebrew, yeshiva das means, you know, a kind of sanity, stability. I mean, you're stable. Stable means that I do it because I do it because I do it. And I like it, and don't bother me. You know, something like that. Like somebody says to you, like, what are you doing? How come you get up in the morning to go to Minyan? I'm speaking now about people who get up in the morning to go to Minyan. I say, why do you get up in the morning? I like it. It's normal. It feels all right to me. You know, I what do you mean? Why do I have to answer the question? Why do I have to be a philosopher? I can get you a person. I like it. Like some people like, you know, food, certain kinds of food. I like to go to shul in the morning. That's called yishuv adas. Now the Rambam says, this is the important thing. Shehem. Hein means the halacha, the Torah, the mitzvos, the halacha, right? That's hein. Hatova hagdola, the great good, shehishpia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyishuv ha'olam hazeh. Shehishpia is from the word shefa. And the word shefa means overflowing. We got more. God created the world and then created man. And the whole world is there so that man can continue to exist and do good things. And beyond that, what did we get? Hatova hagdola sheshpia liyishuv olam hazeh, so that the world should be built properly. Kedei linchol chayei ha'olam haba. In other words, the Rambam, now I'm going to rewrite the Rambam in my own words. I can tell a story. The Rambam say, look, everybody wants to get into Olam Haba. What are we doing here in Olam Hazeh? We just try to pass the time and make sure that we get through safely and get a good seat in Olam Haba. So what would happen if you become a philosopher? Become a philosopher. So you don't know if you should be an analytical philosopher, or you should be like a Greek philosopher, whether you should do this kind of philosophy, that kind of philosophy. You don't know whether this is a straight thought or that's a straight thought. You don't learn Wittgenstein, and you figure out you don't understand what you're saying, and you don't understand what they're saying, and nobody understands anything. So you're like Avtzara. So here you are, a philosopher. Did you want to do something good? You want to get yourself into Olam Haba. So the Rambam says that the way you get into Olam Haba as a philosopher is that you really get it. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and you know what mitzvahs are, and you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and you know what the relationship is. And here you have Wittgenstein telling you that you don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand the words that you're saying. So you're kind of stuck. So on that basis, you're going to get to Olam Haba. Not yet anyway. So what's the Tova HaGadol? The Rambam says, imagine. If all we had was philosophy, boy, we would be in trouble. I mean, Olam Haba would be the emptiest place imaginable. No one could ever get to Olam Haba. I mean, even Aristotle, according to the Rambam, couldn't figure it out. Aristotle held it from the Rambam. You know, they say, I remember my mother used to say, I'm mayontic. You know what mayontic is? Very dearly. Like the Rambam thought that Aristotle, he really had a once in a millennium brain. He had it all figured out. But if you had to Aristotle, ask him about God. Where's God? Aristotle? You know, you say, I don't know. I'm not sure. He's not sure about whether there's God. I mean, like the simplest thing, you ask any kid who goes to Cheder. Right? You go take a 4-year-old kid, a 3-year-old kid to Cheder. You say, who created the world? So he says, the Rebbe Shlomo. You say to Aristotle, who created the world? He says, what? Depends. So what do you mean depends? What do you mean depends? So imagine, so the Rambam says, if all we had was philosophy, I mean, who would get to Olam Haba? The Rambam says, the Rambam would say probably in a very kind of a humble moment, he would say, I'd have nobody to talk to. It would just be me. In Olam Haba. So he says, so what's the Tova HaGdola? What's the Shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave? What's the Shefa HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, here, the Jews, every single Jew has an option on Olam Haba. And where does that option on Olam Haba come from? The Havayos, the Havayei Verova. And why do we have Havayos, the Havayei Verova, according to the Rambam? Shehema Tova Gdol Shishpia Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Yishuv Olam Hazeh Kedei L'Nchol Chayei HaOlam Haba. And then the Rambam goes on and he's like a little caveat at the end, like a lawyer. The Efshar Shiyei Dei Makol, that when it comes to this, the Havayis Havayi Verova, not Havayis Havayi Verova, like all the Svaris and all the Lombas, but as like, if you'd have to know, what am I supposed to do in the morning when I get up? And how do I do the mitzvah of the mitzvahs of Yom Kippurim, and how do I do a lulav and esrog? Everybody can know that. So you can just build up zchuyot like crazy. The guy who's a philosopher, he can't even figure out what's going on in the world. He can't figure out anything because maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. So the Rambam says, Evshar Shiyei Dei Makol, this, the Torah is absolutely democratic, which is not to say that everybody has equal weight in the Torah. Everybody's opinion is equal. But that everybody can keep the Torah. Godol v'koton ish v'isha ba'alev rochov v'ba'alev koto. Everybody can. And in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam says, what do you mean, kidei linchol chayei ha'olam haba? After all, there is a further limitation on linchol chayei ha'olam haba, and that is that you have to be a tzaddik. You have to be in a noble category. So the Rambam says in Perek Zion, even being a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu is open to all. It's totally democratic. How does that happen? Tshuva. Tshuva enables everybody to be in the category of a tzaddik who is worthy of a place in Olam Haba. So that tshuva for the Rambam, it's not just the way we deal with the burden of Averis, but it's the engine which enables us to participate in creation in the best possible way. And that's what the Rambam says at the end of Perek Dalet in Hilchos Sotah. The Rambam says, look, if we were not going any place, and if we didn't have any future, and if there was no, there were no goals, right, that we were trying to, that we were trying to achieve, so we could sit around the world, you know, and drink mint juleps, and talk about philosophical questions, and get someplace or not get something, it will be the same, because then at the end we'd all die. But since we're all going someplace, since there's an option to get to someplace, the question then becomes, how do we fit into that plan, into this most noble plan? Even though people usually think of the Rambam as being a great, you know, a great philosopher, and also a great organizer of halacha, it always seemed to me, and it's an article somebody that I know wrote in Tradition many years ago, which is a good article, an article written about korbanos, about the Rambam's attitude to korbanos, written by somebody named Russell Hendel, who then went into math or something, you know, one of these, you know, smart, modern, orthodox fellows who went into math. So, you know, like this happens sometimes. It used to happen. Now it doesn't happen anymore. Now it doesn't happen. It used to happen. So this article written by Russell Hendel about korbanos also makes the point. This is like a question of what's the Rambam's attitude? What's the Rambam's attitude to these? So he says, well, how do you measure a person's attitude? One way of measuring it is the concern that he had, that the Rambam may have had, that everybody else should get it straight. Like we learned about Parah Aduma. So you know that the Rambam wrote a whole section of halachas about Hilchos Parah Aduma, which I can't imagine were all the rage, you know, in Spain. You know, he could have left it out, but no, the Rambam thought that Torah, I'm not talking about his position on the Messianic era, but he said that Torah, that the study of Torah was such a wondrous thing that making it available to all the people by organizing the material would have been, it's like the most wonderful thing, the greatest chesed that a person could do. So that according to, for the Rambam, I would think that even though he knew this and he knew that, and he could have written another kind of Mori Nevuchim, right? A different fat book about philosophy. Instead of writing a fat book about a halacha, the chesed, the thing that he understood that Am Yisrael was supposed to do was learn the halachas of Parah Aduma. Because by learning the halachas of Parah Aduma, irrespective of your particular position at that moment in history, right, there is a base of Ignis, there isn't a base of Ignis, but learning the halachas of Parah Aduma means that you're getting the order of Torah into you. And the order of Torah into you is what enables you to be a seeker of the ultimate reward, Olam Haba. And within the system, which says do good things, and learn Torah, and then you'll be able to be nochel olam haba, you nevertheless have this burden that as long as you have averus, you can't really make the free choice to become a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So along comes tshuva according to the Rambam, and the tshuva is what enables us to make that one, that very remarkable choice. And you know, if the kids ask, you know, the kids come to shul on Yom Kippur and they see this, you know, litany of al-chaitz, they figure that, you know, that Yom Kippur is for bad guys. You know, you figure everybody comes to shul and Yom Kippur is wearing manacles and is chained to his place or something, because you have to bring like the worst people in the world into shul so that they could say all those al-chaitz. So that's what the little kids say. They come to shul, they see all these men with long white beards, you know, who look very righteous, and they're all like doing it. They're all working hard. So the answer is that, you know, Yom Kippur actually presents different kinds of challenges to different kinds of people. You know, people who come in and they say, well, you know, I did this Aveira and I just escaped by the skin of my teeth, whatever that might mean, and I am, I just like, you know, I'll get a little davening in, and so it'll be like a life insurance policy. So that's one kind of issue. But there are other people who come to shul on Yom Kippurim who are dealing with, you know, tzaddikim like Moshe Rabbeinu, the schar of Olam Haba. How do you assure that the path to Olam Haba is not only paid with good intention, but paid with the right kinds of right kind of mass, and that's also tshuva. And that's also Yom HaKippur. Some people think atonement is a kind of release from a psychological obligation. But in fact, there are people for whom atonement means the beginning of the world of Tzadik Kimoshe Rabbeinu, of, you know, entree into Olam Haba and the ultimate bracha and reward. So.
I need to unplug you.
Oh, how do you do it?